From taco night in Tulum to sushi in Tokyo, make every bite rewarding with gold from Amex. Wherever you dine, 4x membership rewards points at restaurants worldwide are piling up. Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-gold. Terms and points cap apply.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. The U.S. government shutdown has entered its sixth day. While leaving the White House yesterday on his way to Naval Station in Norfolk, Virginia, President Trump told reporters that it's the Democrats' fault the federal government is shut down.
Well, I call them Democrat layoffs. They're Democrat layoffs. They're causing it. We're ready to go back. You know, we have a record-setting economy. We have a record-setting country. Prices are way down. We're doing better than the country's ever done. And the Democrats hate seeing that. It's up to them. Anybody laid off, that's because of the Democrats.
Democrats are insisting on renewing subsidies to cover health insurance costs for millions of households, while Trump wants to preserve existing spending levels. While in Virginia, Trump did not let the government shutdown interfere with the Navy's 250th anniversary celebration, using his speech to praise both the Navy and himself.
This is sort of a rally. Let's face it. This is a rally. This is a speech of love. We all love our country.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. Oregon is fighting to keep federalized forces from being sent to address protests outside of an ICE facility.
President Donald Trump is sending 300 California National Guard members to Oregon after a federal judge temporarily blocked Oregon National Guard members from being deployed. While leaving the White House Sunday, Trump said he's not pleased with the judge's order.
I appointed the judge, and he goes like that. So I wasn't served well. Obviously, I don't know the judge, but if he made that kind of a decision, Portland is burning to the ground.
President,
and you have a judge like that, he ought to be that judge ought to be ashamed of himself.
Trump also says he's not happy that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker continues to fight him on deploying the state's National Guard members to Chicago.
I think that Pritzker, he's not a stupid person. I think that Pritzker's afraid for his life.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says he will fight the move in court to send his state's National Guard to Oregon. I'm Donna Water.
And Israel and Hamas are preparing for indirect negotiations in Egypt. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said a hostage release could be announced this week. Tuesday marks 2 years since the Hamas attack that sparked the war. The Secretary General of the Nobel Committee, Thomas Perlman, has announced the Nobel Prize in Medicine for scientists in San Francisco, Seattle, and Japan. The three were awarded the prize for discoveries concerning peripheral immune tolerance. This is AP News. A former NFL quarterback is facing charges after being stabbed during a weekend altercation in Indiana. Correspondent Gethin Kulbal has more.
Mark Sanchez was pepper sprayed and stabbed multiple times during a late-night altercation Saturday with a 69-year-old truck driver in an Indianapolis alley, which resulted in criminal charges against the Fox Sports analyst, according to court records filed Sunday. A police affidavit alleges that Sanchez smelled of alcohol and accosted the driver at a hotel's loading docks, leading to a confrontation outside the vehicle that prompted the driver to defensively pull out a knife. Sanchez was in stable condition after being hospitalized with stab wounds to his upper right torso. I'm Gethin Kulbal.
Tonight we'll get a chance to see the first supermoon of the year. No special equipment is needed, but we will need clear skies. This event happens when a full moon is closer to Earth in its orbit, making it look slightly larger and brighter.
The October 6th supermoon is the first of three this year. It happens when a full moon is closer to the Earth in its orbit. That makes the moon look up to 14% bigger and 30% brighter than the faintest moon of the year, according to NASA. Derek Pitts is chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute.
Everyone will be able to experience this supermoon event, as long as the sky is clear.
He says the term supermoon actually emerged in the late 70s.
As it turns out, our culture these days really loves superlatives. So the superlative of super attached to this event that happens almost all the time.
Or at least two more times this year, the closest supermoon is slated for November, followed by another in December. I'm Julie Walker.
Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
Kilmar Abrego-Garcia has won a request for a hearing on charges of human smuggling. Abrego-Garcia was wrongfully deported to El Salvador and successfully sued the Trump administration. He was charged with human trafficking in June in Tennessee on the day he was brought back to the U.S. from a prison in El Salvador. In ordering the hearing, a federal judge ruled there is some evidence the prosecution against him may be an illegal retaliation. That evidence included statements by various Trump administration officials. President Trump spoke here in April.
Abrego-Garcia, is that the one? Yeah. Is an illegal alien, MS-13 gang member, and foreign terrorist. This comes out of the State Department and very legitimate sources. I mean, I assume.
The case in Tennessee comes from a 2022 traffic stop. Abrego-Garcia was not charged at the time. If convicted, he will be deported. As the government shutdown continues through the weekend, Republicans say they are winning, but some fear President Trump's cuts may change that. John Cornyn from Texas in the Senate feels the GOP has the upper hand on extending health care funding.
There's no imminent threat to these people or anyone else if we don't address it in the context of this shutdown. So it's a made-up crisis.
But President Trump's sweeping cuts to home state projects and the threat of mass federal firings have some Republicans worried the White House may be going too far and potentially giving Democrats and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer a way out of this tight spot.
They've refused and barreled us into a shutdown. They thought they could bludgeon us and threaten us and scare us. It ain't working.
North Dakota Republican Kevin Cramer says there's the political ramifications that could cause backlash. It makes everything going forward more difficult. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem visited a Chicago-area ICE facility as agents detained protesters outside. Noem met with employees at the ICE processing facility in Broadview, Illinois. Outside, the crowd grew over several hours.
So deal with it. I have a right.
Some were riled by newly installed barricades. Johnny Bishop is one of the protesters.
The day went on. We were progressively pushed, not just by ICE, but also by Broadview Police Department. We've done these things peacefully. We have done our due diligence to make sure that we are in accordance with the laws.
Arrests were made.
This has been happening for our entire history. And people need to realize that it's not just about fighting against Trump. It's fighting for a more humane immigration system that we all deserve.
Noem also accompanied agents on a raid near a local Walmart store. A new poll asked about health insurance tax credits that are scheduled to expire at the end of the year. The extension issue is the reason for the government shutdown. A poll from healthcare research nonprofit KFF, conducted before the shutdown, found most Americans want Congress to approve the extension. At the same time, the survey showed only about 4 in 10 adults had read a lot or some about the subsidies as the shutdown began, leaving room for public opinion to shift in either direction. Meantime, a New York Times Siena poll conducted roughly at the same period as the KFF poll found most voters did not want Democrats to shut down the government, even if their demands were not met. Apple is removing an app that allows anonymous reporting of ICE agent sightings. IceBlock is a free iPhone-only app that lets users anonymously report and monitor activity by Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers. It is no longer available on Apple's App Store. The company says in a social media post, the reason given was objectionable content. They believe there was pressure from the Trump administration and plan to fight it. Even though it has been removed from the app marketplace, those who have already downloaded IceBlock should still be able to use it. Attorney General Pam Bondi confirmed her office reached out to Apple, demanding they remove IceBlock from their App Store because it's designed to put ICE agents at risk just for doing their jobs. Advocates say tracking ICE activity is a form of free speech protected by the First Amendment. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Sean Diddy Combs case involved sex workers, violence, and freak-offs. The judge said a lengthy sentence is needed for deterrence, giving Combs 4 years and 2 months in prison. The judge also saying he's unconvinced that if Combs is released, these crimes won't happen again. Since Combs has served a year in prison already, this sentence means he would be released in about 3 years. The 55-year-old hip-hop mogul was convicted in July of flying people across state lines for drug-fueled marathon sexual encounters that were deemed violations of the Mann Act. Jurors acquitted him of racketeering, conspiracy, and sex trafficking charges that could have carried a life sentence. The judge also imposed a $500,000 fine and ordered 5 years of supervised release after Combs leaves prison. He can appeal his convictions, of course, and his lawyers have said they will. At least two people were killed in Montgomery, Alabama, Saturday night, a 17-year-old male and a 43-year-old woman, and 12 others injured after a gunman targeted someone in a crowded downtown nightlife area, and then multiple people with guns got involved. Montgomery Police Chief James Graboys.
This started as a result of an individual, one of these 14, who we believe was targeted, in which basically an exchange of gunfire erupted. When that exchange erupted, multiple people in the crowd, because this was a crowded area, pulled their own weapons and started discharging.
He says tips are coming in as they piece together what happened, what the motive was, and who the shooters were. I'm Julie Walker.
North Carolina's Democratic Governor Josh Stein has signed into law a criminal justice measure pushed by the Republican-controlled legislature after a young Ukrainian woman was stabbed to death on a Charlotte train. While Stein criticized portions of the bill, his signature still affirms the actions of GOP politicians and their allies who demanded reforms. The new law bars cashless bail for certain violent crimes and limits discretion in pretrial release decisions. The bill's authors are also seeking to restart executions in North Carolina, where capital punishment has not been carried out since 2006. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks edged mostly higher on Wall Street, sending indexes to more records. The S&P 500 inched up by less than a tenth of a percent Friday. The index closed out its seventh winning week in the last nine. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 238 points. It's about half a percent. The Nasdaq Composite lost an early gain and slipped 0.3% from its record. Treasury yields ticked higher in the bond market. That followed some mixed reports on growth for service businesses in the U.S. Crude oil prices clawed back some of their losses from earlier in the week. Seth Soutell, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit a grand slam as the Blue Jays staked a 2-0 AL Division Series lead over the Yankees with a 13-7 Game 2 rout. Jays manager John Schneider.
All around good day. You know they're not going away.
The Mariners beat the Tigers 3-2 in Game 2 to even their division series. The NFL's last two unbeaten teams fell as the defending champion Eagles blew a 14-point lead in a 21-17 loss to the Broncos, and Josh Allen's Bills were beaten 23-20 by the Patriots.
We didn't take advantage of our opportunity.
Jackie Young scored a WNBA Finals record 21 third-quarter points to lead the Aces to a 2-0 series lead with a 91-78 win over the Mercury.
Just saw a couple go through.
And college football, Miami moved to number 2, while preseason numbers 1 and 2 Texas and Penn State dropped out of the AP Top 25.
It's obviously been a tough week.
WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert says there's work to be done to repair relationships with players in the league.
I will tell you, I highly respect the players.
Engelbert also said Friday there were inaccuracies in some of the comments attributed to her in a blistering assessment earlier this week by Link star Nafisa Collier.
We've exchanged texts. We're talking next week. So I think obviously, a lot of reporting, a lot of inaccuracy about what I said or what I didn't say.
Collier criticized Engelbert's leadership.
Right now, we have the worst leadership in the world.
Engelbert says Collier's comments impacted her deeply.
I'm a human, too. I have a family. I have two kids who are devastated by these comments.
Engelbert said before Game 1 of the WNBA Finals that the league will review officiating this offseason, and talks were scheduled next week on a new collective bargaining agreement. Pro-Palestinian protesters approached the gates of the Italy soccer team's training center in Florence to demand its upcoming World Cup qualifier against Israel is not played because of the war in Gaza. The protest was part of a national strike, also reacting to an aid mission blocked by Israeli forces. Italy is scheduled to host Israel in Udine on October 14th. UEFA is considering suspending Israel over the war. Dozens of protests have erupted across Italy after the Israeli Navy intercepted the global Samud flotilla, detaining its activists. I'm Geffen Kuhlbach.
Chinese state media reported late Sunday that about 350 hikers had reached a meeting point, while helpers are in contact with another 200 hikers who were trapped at camps at an elevation of over 16,000 feet. Villagers with their oxen and horses have ascended the mountain as part of rescue efforts amidst the heavy snow. They're aiming to clear paths and bring down the trapped people. A hiker who managed to descend told Jimun News that the snowfall had crushed some tents. The snowstorm struck during a national holiday in China when many people go travelling. There's been no immediate update on rescue efforts so far on Monday. France's new Prime Minister, Sébastien Lecornu, has resigned just a day after naming his government and less than a month in office. France's President, Emmanuel Macron, has accepted his resignation. Macron's opponents immediately tried to capitalise on the shocking resignation, with the far-right National Rally urging Macron to either call for snap elections or resign. On the far left, France Unbowed also wants Macron's departure. The resignation rattled investors too, sending the CAC 40 index of leading French companies plunging. The index was already down by nearly 2% on its Friday close. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
In Amsterdam, crowds flooded the streets as they did in Istanbul, which held the largest of multiple demonstrations in Turkey, while in Spain, protests also highlighted the plight of Palestinians in Gaza. In Paris and Manchester, England, people gathered to call for the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Thomas Van Gool is with PAX, which organized this Amsterdam protest.
There are a lot of things that the Dutch government could do. One of the things is to stop supplying weapons to Israel. It's stop buying weapons from Israel. We are also the biggest trading partner of Israel.
The protests across Europe mark the second anniversary of Hamas's October 7th, 2023 attack on Israel that triggered the war. I'm Julie Walker.
Police are questioning six people in connection with the deadly synagogue attack in Manchester, England. Jihad El-Shami was shot and killed by police outside the Heaton Park Congregation Synagogue after he rammed a car into pedestrians and attacked them with a knife. Two people were killed. Detectives say El-Shami, a British citizen of Syrian origin who lived in Manchester, may have been influenced by extreme Islamist ideology. They are still trying to determine if he acted alone. Three men and three women were arrested on suspicion of the commission, preparation, and instigation of acts of terrorism. A court granted police five more days to hold them. I'm Ed Donahue.
A Palestinian hospital official says Israeli bombing of Gaza City has significantly subsided, and the Israeli army says Israeli leaders have instructed it to prepare for the first phase of the U.S. plan to end the war in Gaza. Hours earlier, President Donald Trump ordered Israel to stop bombing Gaza once Hamas had said it accepted some elements of his plan. In Khan Yunis in the Gaza Strip, Najee Badawi, who's displaced from Rafah, says all the people are happy with Hamas's proposals and demand that all Arab and European countries stand with us to end the war. Arafa al-Amour, who's displaced from east of Khan Yunis, says we have wanted to hear about this proposal for some time and we agree to it. We want to end the war by any means possible because we're tired. But Palestinians were still putting their loved ones to rest on Saturday. Funerals were held for seven people killed overnight in an Israeli strike in central Gaza. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says a Russian drone strike on Saturday struck a Ukrainian rail station, injuring at least 30 people. It happened in Shostka, a city northeast of Kyiv, about 43 miles from the Russian border in the Sumy region. The regional governor says in a video handout that seven of the injured are in the hospital, one with critical injuries. The head of Ukraine's National Rail Operations
Foundation says it was a vile attack aimed at stopping communication with frontline communities. Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister and Reconstruction Minister says Russia struck two passenger trains in quick succession, first targeting a local service and then a second bound for Kyiv. He says the second drone hit while an evacuation was underway. I'm Donna Warder.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, Jewish and Mormon communities cope with violence at their houses of worship.
South end of the building, south end of the building.
Body cam video from Sunday's attack on a Michigan Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints captures the moment when police take down the suspected attacker. Investigators are focusing on what motivated a former Marine to ram the church's sanctuary and open fire. At least four people were killed.
It feels like our world is turned upside down.
Brant Malone is a member of the church.
This is where our faith plays a huge part in everything like that. To be able to say, look, we're not exactly sure why things happen that way, but we have our faith that we can rely on.
Fortunately, what's happening is we've got an epidemic of evil that's spreading across the country.
Dan Beasley says he's relying on his faith to find a way forward.
I'm simply a lampstand holding the light up and shining it over this darkest situation.
In Manchester, England on Thursday, an assailant drove a car into people outside a synagogue and then attacked them with a knife on the holiest day of the Jewish year in what police called a terrorist attack.
This is the day that we feared would come.
The United Kingdom's chief Orthodox rabbi, Ephraim Mervis, says the attack was inevitable.
Given the deep tone of Jew hatred on the streets of this country, on university campuses, in social media, in some of the media, a lot of the Jew hate has gone by unchecked. And it was only a matter of time.
He's calling on the British government to do more to protect its citizens.
We need to recognize that this is not only an attack on Jews, and it doesn't only affect the future of Jews. All of our Western civilization right now is on the front line, and we need to protect our values, to stand up for who we are and what we are about.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.